Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of For You From Eve. We are back with the For You Friday series. In case you are new here, my name is Olivia. Every single Friday, I like to get on and talk to you guys and do a little bit of a solo episode with you. So I'm really excited for today's solo episode. As you can see from the title, we're going to be talking about your comfort zone, why it's destroying you, why you need to step out of your comfort zone, and how staying in your comfort zone could potentially ruin your future, just ruin your full potential. I mean, I feel like when it comes to the comfort zone, it's not something that's talked about a lot. I feel like at least I don't see a lot about it. And it's something that I've been noticing recently, like kind of how much I've stepped out of my own comfort zone. And I'm going to talk to you guys about that. But first, let's just check in with each other. Before we get into the topic, let's slow down for a little bit. It's Friday. It's amazing. When you guys listen to this, I will be on my way to Boston, or maybe already in Boston, depending when you're listening to this. So I'm pre-recording this because I have been the busiest version of myself possible the past 2 weeks, and I actually almost can't believe how busy I am. I will run down my schedule with you guys, but I genuinely cannot believe how busy I have been the past 2 weeks, and the fact that the past 2 weeks will actually be the rest of my school semester is like crazy to me because I have been just so extremely busy recently. And it's a good busy. Like, I am doing things that I love. So in case you don't really know much about me or know what I do, I'm a full-time college student. I am studying marketing. So this semester, I'm taking full amount, 16 credits. I'm on campus 4 days a week, which sucks. I'm recording this on Wednesday because it's the only day I'm not on campus. But yes, I'm on campus 4 days a week. Tuesdays and Fridays, I'm on campus from 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., so like a full-time job, I'm there all day. And then Monday and Thursday, I am there from 11:30 a.m. till 1 p.m., which isn't the worst thing ever. But yeah, so I basically am on 4 days a week. Mondays and Thursdays are really easy because it's just one class in the morning and then I have the rest of my day. But it's like every day is something, and I feel like I haven't had the time to do normal, I guess, like self-care activities, like get my nails done. And I had to go tailor a dress for a wedding, and I literally don't have time to do it. I have to go to the mall to pick out some things. I haven't done anything because I just don't have time. So I'm really, really, really excited for Boston because I think Boston will be able, like, I'll be able to get out of my like hometown for a second, get away from school. Like, I do have to do a little bit of work in Boston, like very little bit, just a little bit of posting, but that's it. Like, other than that, like, I'm going to be set free. Like I said, I love everything I'm doing. But yes, I'm a full-time college student studying marketing. I'm a full-time business owner. Of course, you're listening to this podcast, For You From Eve is my business. I post once a week on my podcast. I try to post on Instagram like every other day. I try to post on my TikTok every day. It's tough. I'm really bad on Instagram posts. On Instagram stories, I'm great. I story every day, multiple times a day. TikTok, I'm pretty decent with, but Instagram posts, I'm so bad at. I just like never know what to post. And then it's like, I'll post a graphic or something, but I'm just not the best with Instagram posts. So that's something I'm not that great in, but I'm pretty good at TikTok posts. So follow me on TikTok at For You From Eve if you like content like that. And then I just accepted a full-time job, I want to say last month, but I didn't really start until about 2 weeks ago because I was still like getting in the process of it. I just started a full-time job as a social media manager for a teletherapy company. So there's a lot on my plate. I'm both the happiest version of myself, but also the busiest, most overwhelmed version of myself. Like yesterday, Tuesday, like I said, you're listening to this on Friday, but I'm recording on Wednesday. On Tuesday, I had classes from 9 to 6, but before my classes, I had a meeting at 8 a.m. So I woke up early. I got ready for school earlier. I had a meeting for work from 8 a.m. till 8:30. Then I went to my first class, which was from 9 until 12. Then I had a meeting at 12. So I had a meeting that went from 12 till 12:30. And then I didn't have class again till 1:30. So I spent that next hour just completing work, like just doing homework. And then I had class from 1:30 till, I think my class went from 1:30 to 3:30. And then my last class was 3:30 to 5:30. And then as soon as I left campus, after being on campus all day, meetings all day, homework all day, class all day, I went home ate dinner, and then went to Starbucks to do more homework because I couldn't afford to just not be doing homework. Like, I had to be doing homework because there was so much more that I had to do. So it's definitely a little bit of an exhausting process. Like, even when I got home from Starbucks, I opened up my computer and I still had two more things to do. But I wasn't overwhelmed in a negative way. I was actually like overwhelmed in a happy way because I was so blessed that I have these many things and these many opportunities going on in my life. And that my biggest issue was like being stressed over deadlines. Like, I was so grateful for that because I think if you guys have been listening to my podcast for a while, for the past few months, I had been struggling with my health, migraines, stomach issues, anemia, like a bunch of things have kind of been going on with my health. And I just wasn't feeling like myself the past few months. And I was really nervous for the school semester to start because I was like, I don't know, like, what if I get headaches on campus? What if I get anxious on campus? Like, I took a summer class and I had to go in person for the exam. And I had the worst anxiety attack before the exam. I had the worst anxiety attack after the exam. I had to like splash cold water all over my face in the bathroom. I was just not feeling like myself. I was not feeling my best and it sucked. And so I think for me, it's one of those things where I was very nervous to do normal things again, go to the gym by myself or, you know, go to work by myself or go to school by myself, whatever it was, because I didn't know how my body was going to treat me that day. And I think after being in that position for a few months of being afraid to do things, I finally am at a place right now where I'm like, wait, I'm not afraid of my body anymore. My body has been treating me right. And that is what I'm blessed for. And that's what I'm thankful for. So it's even when I get a little overwhelmed by school and by work and by my podcast and by everything I have to keep up with and all the deadlines and everything I should be getting done. Even when I'm overwhelmed with that stuff, I still think like, thank God I'm healthy. Thank God I have the ability to get all these things done. And that's what I need to be grateful for. So I remember it was like my second day of classes and I was walking back to my car. It was like 5 p.m. and like my teacher ended class early and the weather was just so beautiful. You know, that like perfect fall weather in New Jersey. The weather was beautiful. I'm walking back to my car and I'm like, you know what? Like, I have a different type of feeling about this semester. I feel like this semester is going to be really good. And I was like, I'm going to be the busiest person ever because I'm working a full-time job, owning a business full-time and a full-time student. I'm going to be the busiest person ever and the busiest I've ever been my whole life. But this semester feels really different to me. I've never felt so happy, so grateful, so just positive about a semester. And so it kind of just taught me, even though I stepped out of my comfort zone and took on more than I didn't know if I could handle, which obviously sometimes it's not good to do that. And it's good to just step back and take a break, which is why I am going to Boston. And even this morning, like today's Wednesday morning, yesterday, like I said, had the busiest day ever. Tomorrow, I know I'm going to be pretty busy. Friday, I'll be in Boston. But it's like today I woke up early. I woke up around 8 a.m. I put a hair mask in my hair to like give myself some self-care and made myself some coffee. And I'm, you know, sitting and recording this podcast. And then when I'm done recording this podcast, I want to clean my room a little bit, finish doing a paper, eat some breakfast. Like, I want to treat myself right. And I want to kind of romanticize everything. And I think that's what I've been learning to do recently is just romanticize everything in my life, romanticize school, because I love my full-time job and I love my podcast. Do I love school? No, I don't. You guys know I don't love school, but at the end of the day, I'm going to romanticize the hell out of school until I am done with it because there's nothing I can do about it. I have to finish. I'm almost done. So the only thing I can do is like stick through with it and just finish it until I'm done and see it more as a privilege rather than a punishment. I saw that as a TikTok once, where a girl was like, yeah, I just started seeing school as a privilege rather than a punishment. And it made me want to be successful in it because I'm lucky to have the opportunity. So that's kind of how I'm trying to change my mindset when it comes to school. But yeah, so I've been super busy, super overwhelmed, but also super happy and grateful and thankful and blessed. So today's episode, I wanted to talk about the comfort zone because I think my podcast and my career in itself was stepping out of my comfort zone. And I think it's not something I see a lot of people do. I know so many people and I see so many people who just love the comfort of their zone and they don't realize that when you stay comfortable where you are, you will never grow. You will never ever grow if you're comfortable. The moment you start growing is when you step out of that comfort zone. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw I actually posted this circle thing It's like the comfort zone. It goes comfort zone, fear zone, learning zone, growing zone. I'm going to go through those four things first. And then I have a few extra tips I'm going to go through. And then I'm going to go through your Instagram DMs. But let's first start with different ways that you can be in your comfort zone and things that I think people get too comfortable with. So there's obviously a bunch of different things I think people are too comfortable with. I just made like a little list of things I see people being too comfortable with. Number one, work. I think that's the biggest thing about comfort zone is people are too afraid to leave their jobs. They don't want to explore a different option because they're like, well, where I am right now, I'm making a good amount of income and I kind of like what I do, so it's fine. And it's like they don't have the urge to find their passion. They just want something that's going to pay the bills and that makes sense in their life. And it's like, yes, obviously that's a good route to go sometimes, but I think when you get too comfortable, you're not unlocking your full potential. I also think if you're listening to this podcast and if you clicked onto this episode anyways, you're probably not in the position where you don't want to grow. I think you're listening to this because you want to grow. So I think a lot of people just stay comfortable in the jobs that they are, whether it's a part-time job or a full-time job. I think a lot of the time we're afraid to switch and like start an internship at something we've never worked at before because we don't know if we're going to like it or not. Or, you know, instead of working a part-time job all summer, maybe go get an internship. And it's like, you don't want to get an internship because what if you realize you don't like the major you're studying and that adds another stress? I think there's a lot of fears when it comes to leaving your job. But that's definitely the number one thing I see people staying in their comfort zone with. Number two, school. I think a lot of people stay in their comfort zone with school. I definitely didn't. The second I realized I didn't like the school I was at, I transferred. And yes, it took me two schools to realize the school I really wanted to be at. But at the end of the day, I did it. Like, it is what it is. So I think school is something people are like, well, I'm really not happy at the school I'm at, but I'm not going to transfer because I know my way to school. I know how to get there. I know who I'm going to see when I go to class. I know who I'm going to see on campus. I have friends here, you know, whatever it might be. And you just like to stay comfortable, or even within your major, if you love your school but you hate your major, you're too afraid to start a new major and not like it, or just to switch and go through the headache of it, or have to take an extra year, or whatever it is. Friends, I think a lot of the time we stay in maybe toxic friendships or just friendships that aren't the best for us because we're comfortable with those friends. Like, we know where our friends live, we know what we're gonna do with our friends, we know what to expect when we see our friends, like things like that. Relationships, I think even if you're not, like, let's say you're staying with someone just because it's comfortable, like, you know you're going to marry them, so it gives you a sense of security. They have a good job, so it gives you that financial freedom when you get married. Your parents know their parents, so you're like, okay, great, like, this is so easy. And you're lacking that passion, but you have the comfort. I think that's something I see a lot in people, is they're like, well, this relationship is just so convenient for me, so why wouldn't I stay in it? And it's not like, relationship is not just about convenience. Honestly, like, I think no relationship is really convenient. I mean, I guess it can be in a way, but it's like, at the end of the day, if you really love someone, there's going to be so much passion in that relationship that problems are going to arise. And it's like, okay, convenience isn't enough when problems arise. House, living situation, not wanting to move out on your own, not wanting to leave your hometown, routine, not wanting to wake up at a different time or sleep at a different time or add new things in your morning, the gym, getting comfortable with the workouts that you do and not wanting to explore different workouts or explore working out different parts of your body. When I first started the gym, for the first 3 months, all that I was doing was running on the treadmill for 20 minutes, doing a 20-minute ab workout, and spending the last 10 minutes doing like three machines that I knew how to do. And it was like, I wasn't doing like ab day, cardio day, leg day. It was like, no, that was the same thing I did 4 or 5 days a week for 3 months. That was it. Because I was too afraid to try other machines and to work out different parts of my body. And I remember, like, I was always a little bit afraid to work out my arms or my chest or my back, because I remember, like, I told one of my guy friends once, like, yeah, I benched today. Is that what you call it? Bench pressing, when you do the chest press? And you're like, I only did the bar. Oh, yeah, I only did the bar. And I told him, he's like, why are you doing chest? You shouldn't do chest. You're a girl. Like, don't do chest. I'm like, excuse me. So I remember after that, I was like, you know what? I am going to do chest. And it's like, there's parts of my body I want to work out more than others. I want to do cardio more than I want to do triceps. I want to do legs more than I do chest. Like, I prioritize my abs, my cardio, and my legs, and my back. Those are my top four that I work out every single day, like, you know, Monday leg day, Tuesday back day, Wednesday card, you know, whatever. Those are the days I have assigned. I don't have an assigned, ooh, I hit my mic, sorry. I don't have an assigned chest day. I don't have an assigned try and buy day. Those I kind of just fit into like a back day with like one or two workouts because that's not my main goal. But at the end of the day, it's not my main, you know, goal or objective. And it's amazing if this is your main objective, but it's not my objective to be super muscular. And I think some girls want to be super muscular, and I think that's amazing. And I think that if you want to be super muscular and you want to be able to beat up all the guys you know in your life, then you go do that. I personally have an idea. I don't really like thinking about my end goal being a body image, but like I know when I was in high school, at least I like looked a lot slimmer, a lot more toned. So I think that I have problem areas that I want to work on, like my arms and my stomach are something I really want to work on. So I focus more on that than I focus on like my legs or my butt. So I think everyone has like a gym goal, but sometimes when you first start going to the gym, at least you're really comfortable in the machines that you use and just like keeping to yourself because you don't want to explore different machines. Something that helped me is like trying to make gym friends, like just like people you see at the gym every week. It's like, okay, this is someone I see, exchange a smile or two, obviously like read the room, you know, get a feel of them. But I think like exchanging a smile or two with some people at the gym or like asking a girl what workouts she does. Like there's this one girl that came up to me once and she was like, girl, like what butt workouts do you do? Cause she's like, your butt looks amazing. I always see you doing them. Like, what do you do? And I remember I was so happy that she asked me that. Cause I was like, that is such a compliment when like someone notices your hard work and like the work that you put into the gym. Even for me, I've been going to my gym for a year and a half and I'll see someone that I've been seeing at the gym for a year. And I'm like, oh my God, this person looks so different. Like I will look at someone, I'm like, wait, this person lost so much weight. They have so much muscle on them. They look like a different person than the person I saw a year ago. And it like makes me proud of them. And it's like, I've never like talked to this person before. I only see them at the gym every single day, but I've never actually talked to them. And I'm like, oh my God, this person looks so different. Good for them. It's inspiring. It's motivating to be around people like that. But there's like a bunch of girls that I'll see at the gym and like smile at or talk to. And it makes you more comfortable because you're like, girl, how do I use that machine? And she'll show you, or like she won't know how to use something, she'll ask you. I think that always makes you more comfortable. So those are some ways that I think people stay in their comfort zone and some things people remain too comfortable with. I just wanted to list them so that maybe if you're listening to this, you're like, oh yeah, you girl, you called me out on that school thing. Let me know how to switch it. You called me out on that friendship thing. Let me know how to change that. Because at the end of the day, we're all remaining a little bit too comfortable with something in our lives, and we are way too afraid to branch out and admit it to ourselves. But the first step is self-awareness, self-acceptance. And I think just listening to this podcast episode, you kind of are already accepting that there's something you're too comfortable with and you're ready to step out of that. So now I want to go through the four zones, which is the comfort zone, the fear zone, the learning zone, and the growth zone. So the first zone we're going to be talking about is, of course, the comfort zone. So I have three key points for the comfort zone: safe and in control, low risk, and low reward. So the comfort zone is where you are right now as listening to this podcast episode, wherever you might be. This is the state that you are trying to get out of and that you are trying to grow out of. So you're in this comfort zone right now, whether you're staying at a school you're not that fond of, you're staying in a friend group that doesn't treat you the best, you're staying at a job that doesn't really give you any passion or make you feel happy or excited about anything. So this is you staying safe, you know, being in control, and just, you know what's going to happen next. When you wake up in the morning, you know what your view is going to be, you know what time you're supposed to wake up, you know what way you're supposed to take to school. And look, as I'm recording this episode, comfort is not a bad thing. Like, comfort is not the worst thing ever. Like, for me, I like the school that I go to. I like my major. I enjoy a routine. I enjoy comfort. I enjoy like waking up and having a morning routine and a night routine. And I really do like that. So for me, it's like, just because I'm saying like you have to step out of your comfort zone, you don't have to step out of the comfort zone of every aspect of your life. When you're listening to this episode, I want you to think about that one comfort zone that you've been way too afraid to leave and start fresh on somewhere. Like I said, whether it's job, school, friendship, whatever it is. So when you're in this comfort zone, you feel safe and you feel comfortable, because you know that you're in control of what happens next. You know what to expect out of what position that you're in. But the low risk, low reward comes with, okay, you're going to do these same things every day, but what's coming out of it? You're not growing as a person when you're doing the same things every single day. Like, you're not growing as a person if you continue going to a job you don't like. You're not growing as a person if you stay in a friend group with a bunch of people who don't treat you right. You're staying. You're at a standstill. And they always – there's like this quote from One Tree Hill, Brooke Davis. I love her. But she was basically saying, like, I feel like everyone else is moving on in their lives and I'm just stuck here. And I think that defines a comfort zone. It's like, this friend went and got married. This friend moved to another country. This friend transferred to this school and now lives in a different state. This friend started their own business. This friend just got out of a long-term relationship. This friend just, you know, got their dream job after leaving an internship, whatever it was. All these people are doing all these things. How come I'm still here? How come I haven't moved forward yet? Everyone has their own timeline. Everyone has their own path. I think that your timeline and your path starts the moment that you step out of your comfort zone and the moment that you stop letting fear stop you from getting there. And that brings me to my second zone, fear. So fear, I put three main components of low self-confidence, excuses, and affected by others' opinions. So I'm going to get into detail about this one. Low self-confidence. When I started my podcast, I'm going to give you guys examples so you kind of know like what I'm saying when I say it. When I started my podcast, I was not confident in myself, in my potential. The only thing that I was confident in was my work ethic and how bad I wanted it. I didn't think I could be successful in this. I didn't think I was going to be great at it, at least when I first started. When I first started, it was something that I was just doing because I wanted to do something. And I was like, I think I would like this. Like, I like to talk. I like to talk to people. I like topics like this. I love listening to podcasts. Let me try it out and see how I feel. And so I started to try it out, see how I feel. In the beginning, like if you listen to my first few episodes, it's so cringy because I clearly did not know how to talk to an audience, but I didn't know how to interview anyone. Like I was very cringy in the beginning of my podcast, but I started it. And the big thing is I stepped out of my comfort zone. And that's what, like, I was afraid when I was recording those first few podcast episodes, but it doesn't matter that looking back, I have a few cringy episodes. What matters is here I am now over 100 episodes in and I'm comfortable talking to an audience. I'm comfortable talking about these things. I know how to come up with topics and I'm confident in what I've built and who I've become through my podcast. Stepping out of my comfort zone, I was not comfortable. I was not confident in what I was doing and it took time. Like a few months later, all of a sudden I'm confident in what I'm doing and I'm happy about what I'm doing and I'm blessed that I took that step to start recording and start uploading because it is not easy like to put yourself out there on a podcast. I think everyone knows it's not easy to put yourself out there on social media, YouTube, podcast, whatever it is. And so I remember like I was babysitting and I'm sitting at the kitchen table, like babysitting these kids while they're in online school. And I like randomly thought like, I really want to start a podcast. And I texted my girls group chat. I go, someone start a podcast with me. And at first I was like, I'm not doing this podcast unless someone does it with me because I don't want to talk by myself. Like that's going to be so embarrassing. It's going to be so bad. And so I was like, I'm not doing it by myself. Someone do it with me. And I knew that my friends weren't going to do it with me, but it was like, you know, might as well try. So I tried and then none of them wanted to. And I was like, okay, you know what? Screw it. I just got to start this myself. Maybe it's better I do it on my own. Maybe you shouldn't mix like business with friends or whatever. So I started it on my own. Obviously, it's been an amazing journey, but it's just taking that initial step of like, this is something I really don't want to do. I don't want to fail at it. I don't want to do this. I'm scared. I'm not confident enough to do this. All of a sudden, you do it once. The first time you do it, you prove to yourself, I went past the fear. I went past the insecurity. And here I am. Excuses. We always make excuses. I don't have enough time to do that. I don't have enough money to do that. That's exactly how I was with my podcast. I was like, I don't have enough money or time to start a podcast. I can't afford a microphone. I can't afford a studio. I can't afford an editing software app. I can't afford this. I can't afford that. And I don't have time. I'm in school. I have a part-time job. The amount of excuses that I had was insane. And now I'm at a point where it's like, I realize if you wanted to, you would. Like, I think that's true for everyone and everything in life. If you want to do something, you're going to get it done no matter what it takes. It's literally like listening to this podcast episode. You wanted to listen to this podcast episode, so you press play. That's it. Whatever you're doing right now, you're doing because you wanted to do. If you didn't want to do something, you wouldn't do it. There's something in the back of your mind telling you that you want to do it. And so when we think of these excuses, like, well, I can't step out of my comfort zone because of this reason and that reason, and I'm supporting this person and I'm doing this and I can't leave my job because of this. And we think of all the excuses in the book when it comes to stepping out of our comfort zone. And I think what you need to do is write all of your excuses down. I don't have enough time. I don't have money, whatever it is. Every single excuse, write it down right now in your notes app. Whether it's about an excuse as why you don't want to leave your job, why you don't want to leave your friend group, whatever it is. Then I want you to write a way that you can solve each excuse one by one. So if the thing is, I don't have enough time, let's say that's your first excuse, write under it. Invest in Google Calendar. Start learning to plan my days. Start prioritizing what I need to do. Maybe cut out this activity. Maybe go on TikToks 30 minutes a day instead of 3 hours a day. Maybe go to sleep earlier and wake up earlier so I have more time in the day to get things done. You know, whatever it is, whatever that first excuse is, write away that you can solve it. Write away that you can solve it. I don't have enough money. Okay, well, what is it that you want to do? I want to start my own podcast. Okay, here's $50. Go get a $20 podcast mic on Amazon. Get a free like anchor thing, or you know, whatever it is, a free app that you can upload your podcast episodes on. There you go. You just made a podcast in under $50. You know, that's not an excuse anymore. Once you start making money and once you start growing this, you'll be able to afford a better microphone, a better audience, all that stuff. At the end of the day, any excuse that we have, there is a solution for. We're just too afraid to sit there and think of the solution because we know when there's a solution to a problem, we normally have to, you know, solve it, and we don't want to solve it because we don't want to step out of that zone. C, affected by others' opinions. Okay, this is something that I was so guilty of in high school. I never cared what people thought about me, like, oh, she's not pretty or she's not skinny or whatever people would say about me in high school. That never bothered me because I was confident in the way I looked in high school. I was confident about my personality in high school. But when it came to social media in high school, because I always wanted to start a YouTube channel, when it came to wanting to start a YouTube channel, that's where I got afraid, because these things that I talk about on the podcast, I was still interested in high school, wellness, work ethic, lifestyle, hustle, all that stuff. I was still very interested in when I was in high school, but I was too afraid to explore that while in high school, because it's like high school students don't know what this shit means. Like, they don't know that. I mean, if you're listening to this and you're in high school, then you're way better than majority of your class. But like, at least in my high school, I wasn't going to talk to anyone about the stuff I talk about on this podcast. I wasn't going to open up and be vulnerable because I was too afraid to get knocked down, to get made fun of, whatever it was. And I did have a YouTube channel at one point with one of my friends, and we like got made fun of for it and we deleted it all. And we were like, yeah, we're never doing this again. It's like, even if people were joking, that one comment just makes you pull back and not want to do it. And I think it also depends on how mean the people in your high school are. I did go to high school with pretty mean people. We were also like a very small school, so like everyone knew your business. So it was definitely a little bit tough to try to get into the influencer space. And it wasn't really a thing to be like an Instagram influencer or anything when you were, and at least when I was in high school, it wasn't really, it was more like YouTube. That was a thing. And so I was affected by other people's opinions in high school. I didn't want to do anything because I didn't want people to talk about me. I didn't want people to have something to say to me. So I just stepped back from it and I didn't do it. Then in college, I realized how little people's opinions matter. And even when I started my podcast, I got a few comments here and there. And like, sometimes I still do, but they're all just joking comments. I know none of them mean harm. But I think at the end of the day, people don't take you seriously unless you're successful at what you do. And I think when I first started my podcast, people maybe had more to say about it. Like, people were more like, oh, like, let's record the whatever, like things like that. But then when you become successful at it, people don't really say anything anymore. It's like, okay, wait, she's actually doing good at what she's doing. Why did I ever make fun of her for it? So I think that once I started to become a little bit more successful at my show, it made people kind of shut up a little bit because they're like, okay, we might not understand what she's doing, but clearly other people out there do. And I think that's true for a lot of people, is when people first start things, no one really understands their concept or their idea. So they just shut them down. They shut them down for even trying. And then all of a sudden that person becomes successful in what they do. And it's like, wait, she was onto something that we didn't know about. So other people's opinions shift so much. And I promise you, if someone is judging your path, your future, if someone is judging the way that you live your life, it is because they are jealous. And I know that's a cocky, self-absorbed thing to say, but it is true. It is so, 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 so true. If someone is making fun of the fact that you wake up at 6 a.m. and go to the gym and eat breakfast and, you know, journal and meditate. They're like, what's meditation? Why do you go to the gym at that time? Why do you meditate? Why do you journal? Whatever. If people make fun of you for those things, it's because they're jealous they haven't found that peace within themselves. If people make fun of you for what you do for a living, whether you're on social media or like you're trying to make it big on social media or on YouTube or on podcast, it's because they're jealous that they don't have the same courage as you. So that's something I've learned drastically, is I've lost some people in my life, like a lot of friends in my life, because I'm like, that person is purely just upset and mad. And this is what they always say. They always say, like, how come I get more support from these random people online? And I get more support from these random people online than I get from my friends from home. And people always say, they're like, you want to know why? Because the people from your home started exactly where you started, in your way above them. These people online, they don't know your journey. They don't know your past. So they're going to be proud of you. They're going to support you. But these people from your home, these people you've been friends with your whole life, they can't fathom the fact that you grew up and started the same way, and you're here and they're down there. And so they will try to bring you down to them because they think bringing you down is going to bring them up. But at the end of the day, you have to recognize these people. You have to notice who's quiet when you talk about your accomplishments, right? I'm not saying hunt out these people and cut them off and make them regret it and whatever. No. At the end of the day, we do things for ourselves here. I hate when people do things for other people, especially for like male validation. I can't stand that. We do things for ourselves on this podcast. So if you're at a place where you're like, this is something I really want to do, I'm afraid to get there because I don't want to get judged by my friends. If they were your friends, you wouldn't be afraid to be judged by them. You would feel supported and loved by them. So whatever it is that you're afraid of, what your family will think. I mean, sometimes even me, like, I'm like, I don't want to post an Instagram story of me crying when like my parents follow me. Like, they're going to come upstairs and be like, what's wrong? You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I get it in some ways, but at the end of the day, it's like, you have to learn, because being vulnerable on the internet is not easy. Once you find the right audience and the right community, like I have found with all you lovely people listening to this episode, I feel comfortable and I don't feel fear. Because of you guys, because of everyone listening to this episode, you guys are what gives me confidence. If someone says something to me on the street, for you, from me, is stupid and is going to fail, that wouldn't even bother me in the slightest, because I have you girls listening to my podcast, or maybe a guy, I don't know. And that's what matters to me. And that's what makes my job worth it for me. That's what makes the overwhelmness and the stress and whatever worth it, is that there's girls listening to this episode right now, as you're sitting, as you're walking, as you're cleaning your room, whatever that you're doing. You're listening to me for comfort. You're listening to me for advice. And that is all that I've wanted to accomplish my whole life. So no matter what anyone says to me, it will not faze me in the slightest, because I've already gotten where I want to be and it's only going up from here. The next zone is the learning zone. So this is where you're going to face challenges, problem solving, and new skills. So the learning zone is like, okay, I finally stepped out of my comfort zone, right? It's like, okay, I was comfortable. Then I reached the fear zone of like being on the edge of the comfort zone, where I don't want to completely go, but I'm like kind of staying back a little bit, maybe taking baby steps to step out of that fear zone. Now I'm in the learning zone. I stepped out of the fear zone. Now I'm in the learning zone. And the little graphic I posted on Instagram, if you envision yourself walking through it as I'm explaining this, it helps so much. Now I'm in the learning zone. I'm going to face challenges. I'm going to have to solve some problems, and I need to think of some new skills. So this is something that, this is when you first step out of your comfort zone, kind of like, what do you need to do? What is going to come now? Okay, I just took the courage and quit my job. Okay, challenge is coming. What job do I want next? Who do I talk to get that job? This is where your problem solving and your challenges and the new skills come in. I just left the friend group. How do I make new friends? I just transferred school. How do I get to campus? Where's this building? This is what happens in the learning zone. And yes, it can be a little bit scary. Yes, it can be a little bit fearful. But at the end of the day, this is you growing. This is how you grow. You grow through experiences like this. And I know it can be a little bit terrifying to have to solve new problems that you've never had to solve, and to face obstacles that you've never had to face, and to learn new skills that you've never even knew existed. But at the end of the day, you are learning and you are growing through this process. The learning zone is where you grow the most. And then after the learning zone, you have the growth zone. This is where you made it. You know, you found your purpose, you're living your dream, and now you're setting goals for what you created. So it's like, let's take the example of transferring schools. You're in the comfort zone. You know what school you go to. You don't really like it too much. You know who you're going to see when you get to class. You know where to park. you know which highway exit to take, you know where to walk to get your favorite car, like Starbucks, like you know your most local grocery store. You're in the comfort zone. No risk, low risk, low reward, but you're safe and you're in control. You're like, okay, I really want to transfer schools. Let me just look at other schools. Now you're in the fear zone. Let me just look at them because I'm a little bit too afraid. What are my parents going to say? What are my friends? I transferred 2 times. I get jokes about it all the time. I don't care because I'm happy where I am now. So whoever wants to make jokes about, oh, you transferred this many times, you can't, you don't know what you want, whatever. I used to always get told, can you figure out what you want? You start a million new things and you never pursue any of them. You start all these different podcasts, Instagram, this, YouTube, that, whatever, and you don't know what you want. And I remember like I got that said to me once and I was like, at the end of the day, if you're trying to find something that you're passionate about, you are way above these other people who are not even trying to, you know, grow, get out of their comfort zone. Anything that I've done, whether it was failed, whether it was success, whatever it was, I had to step out of my comfort zone to do. And so if you're in the fear zone right now of the transferring schools example, and you're like, oh, what are my parents going to say? What are my friends going to say? Now you're in the fear zone. Let me just entertain myself. Let me just look at some colleges that I could go to that, like, you know, I'm not going to apply to, but I'll just look. All of a sudden you're in the learning zone. You press apply. You're like, I just applied to all these colleges. A couple months go by. Oh my God, I just got accepted into this college that I really want to go to, but it's too scary. It's out of state. I don't want to experience that, this, that, whatever. Now you're in the learning zone. You accept the offer to go to this college. Now you are facing new challenges. You are solving problems and you are learning new skills. You have to find a new way to get to school. Are you living in school? Where's the local Starbucks by your school? What way do I have to walk to get to class? What does the business building look like? Now you have all these new problems and obstacles arising. Yes, they're small problems compared to the big picture of you took the leap to transfer schools, but this is what the learning zone is. You have the success of taking the leap, but now you have to deal with making those changes. Now you're 2 months into this new school, you're in the growth zone. You found your purpose of going to the school. You're living your dream of going to the school, studying your major. You're getting a little bit comfortable with the area, with the people there. And now you're setting goals towards that. I want to get this GPA. I want to do this on campus. I want to join or start this club. And those are the four zones. That's kind of like the example that I thought was the easiest to explain. Something I want to talk about is there's this thing called magic questions. And it's in this book called How to Be Yourself by Ellen Hendrickson. She wrote this book called How to Be Yourself. And in this book, she asks 3 main questions that you should ask yourself when you're feeling anxious about kind of like leaving your comfort zone or that fear zone. Once you're in this fear zone, these are the questions you should ask yourself. 1, what are you anxious about? What is making you nervous? What are you scared about? What's on your mind that's making you feel uneasy? 2, how likely is that to happen? What's the biggest fear that comes out of transferring schools? You get rejected. People say mean things about you. You get lost to class one day and walk into a class, right? How likely are any of those things to happen, right? It's like, think of, okay, these are my biggest fears about stepping out of this comfort zone. How likely is that really going to happen? And the 3rd, let's say it happens. How are you going to cope with that? Let's say that fear happens and all of a sudden you got rejected from that school. Now what do you do? Do you apply to another school? Do you stay where you are? You know, how are you coping with this? And then a bonus question, what can you do to stop your fears from coming to life? What can you do to avoid those things that you're anxious about, right? So asking yourself these questions when you're in that fear zone, writing them out, saying them out loud, whatever it is that you have to do, will help you so much to just realize what your brain is thinking. Because I think sometimes our brain thinks too much for us and we're like, okay, slow down. I don't need to know that I feel that emotion yet. Like, I'm not ready to know, like, you know, whatever it is. And I think sometimes our brain goes faster than we're meant for it to go. And we're like, we're not ready for this. Like, my emotion and my heart are not ready for how fast my brain is going. It's like when we're overthinking, our brain is going faster than our heart is. So you're thinking all these things, it's good to just take a few breaths, do a little meditation, sit down with yourself and journal out those 4 questions, or at least sit with yourself and say them out loud or talk to someone about these things. Because when you write it out and when you say it out loud, you're saying things out loud that you didn't even know that your brain was thinking of. So asking yourself these questions in the fear zone is such a good way to get out of that fear zone. Another thing is, 2 other tips that I have is, failure is not failure unless you stop trying, right? It's like, you could fail at something 3-4 times. If you're getting back up, that doesn't mean that you failed. When I think of failure, I did, like, I before for you for me, if I had a coffee page called Brewing Brunette, it failed. But if I started it up again tomorrow, then it's not a failure because I started it back up. It only failed because I stopped doing it and I realized this isn't what I want to do. I'm going to shut this account down and I'm going to start something new for myself that I'd actually be interested in. And so for me, I see it as a failure because I stopped. Yes, it's not something I really care to succeed at, though. I'm okay that I failed with it because it's not something that I want to be doing. But if tomorrow morning I decide that I want to pursue Brewing Brunette, then it's not a failure anymore. So I think that failure is not failure unless you stop trying. So even if you get rejected from one school, if you keep applying to other schools, or if you email the dean of that school, or you're on like with the wait list or whatever it is, you have not failed until you've said, I'm done and I'm going back into my comfort zone. That is when you failed. But the moment that you pick it back up and you try stepping out of that zone again, that failure that you thought you had, guess what? It's still in the process. Your story is not over yet. And another thing is to not pay attention to those who don't support your growth. I think that for me, I've noticed like some people maybe like don't talk to me about the things that I do or like purposely don't, even though I see myself always reaching out to like try to talk to people about their passions and their dreams and their goals because I'm a very like goal-oriented, hard work ethic person. And so I like to talk to other people about their work ethic and their passions and their goals and their dreams. And it's like sometimes it does hurt my feelings when people don't ask me about it back. But at the same time, you can't expect that from people. You can't expect people to care. You can't force people to care. You know, whatever you think you can do, you can't change someone. You can't change the way someone feels and the way someone cares about you. And so I think a lot of the time we allow other people's opinions to kind of stop us from wanting to step out of these zones because we let one thing they say determine whether or not we want to take the next step. So I think it's always a good reminder to just be aware of who in your life is supporting you and who wants you to grow and who loves you because those are the people you should be keeping around. You should not be keeping around the people who try to tear you down, even if it's in like little ways. The next thing I want to talk about before I go into the questions, the last thing is working with your nervous system. So this is an interesting thing that I was actually seeing is like working with your nervous system. And it's like when you're stepping out of your comfort zone, your nervous system starts to work in a more anxious, fearful way because now you're feeling a little bit of fear, you're feeling a little bit anxious. And I just thought that was so interesting because I think a lot of the time we forget like the way we think affects our bodies, the way we live affects our bodies. Stress affects our bodies. It affects our nervous system. Fear affects our bodies and our nervous system. And I think it's so interesting. Like sometimes I'll be like playing and rubbing my fingers and I'm like, oh my God, I'm anxious. And then I'll look down and I'll see my fingers like me like playing with my fingers. I'm like, wow, my body knows I'm anxious and it's like acting this way because it's anxious. So dealing with your nervous system when you're in this fear zone or in the learning zone, at least, I think the nervous system is kind of acting up more in the learning zone when you're facing the challenges and having to solve new problems or whatever it is. You have to realize that you have to remind yourself when you're uncomfortable, you're still safe. Like keep telling yourself you're safe, you're safe, you're safe. You still have yourself. Your real home is your body. This is where your mind is living. Your mind and your body are safe right now. If you're walking onto a new campus and all you feel is anxiety trying to get into your new class and scared of who you're going to see and where the class will be, and if you walk into the wrong class, whatever, remind yourself, I'm still safe. And also, deep breaths when you're doing something new. Take deep breaths, do breathing exercises. I love talking about breathing, just like I love breathing exercises in general. I'm always doing deep breath meditations. I think it's one of the best things that you can do for your body and for your anxiety and for your nervous system. So make sure you're being aware of your nervous system and work with it. Do deep breaths, do meditations. And I think a way that you can also limit anxiety is to be more comfortable with yourself and be more comfortable with spending time alone. I think a lot of the time when we get anxious about things, it's because we're doing it alone or we're facing it alone, but you have to be okay with that. You have to realize that a part of growth is learning to be comfortable with yourself. And I think that's so, so, so important. Like, I know for me, when I was in high school, I was so dependent on my friends or my boyfriend or whoever it was to go grocery shopping with me, to go to the gym with me, to do everything with me. I didn't want to do anything by myself. And then I finally got to a point of like, wait, like, I'm good doing this by myself. I actually love doing this more by myself. I'd rather run errands on my own. I'd always like rather do them with my boyfriend, but I'm okay with running errands on my own. I'm okay with going to the grocery store alone, getting my nails done alone. Yeah, you could text your friends here and there to hang out and do run an errand with you and get nails done together. But at the end of the day, you have to be okay with doing it by yourself too. And that's something that's also going to change your nervous system because when you're alone, when you're with someone, I think you're more comfortable to do things. You're more comfortable to step out of your comfort zone. But when you're by yourself, you're not. And all of a sudden, this nervous system is going to start acting up again. So I definitely would say make sure you're comfortable with yourself and spending alone time, going on, taking yourself out on a date, little things like that. So I asked you guys on Instagram to ask me questions about stepping out of your comfort zone. So I'm going to answer a few of them right now. I don't want this episode to be too long, so I will go through and answer them right now for you guys. So let's go ahead and do that. Okay, so we have a quick ad from our friends at Anchor. If you guys have heard me talk about how I started For You From Eve and how I started my podcast in such an easy and free way, I use Anchor. So Anchor was a really good way to record, edit, and distribute my podcast onto listening platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts and even more streaming platforms. It's free. Like I said, it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Don't forget to download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Let's continue with the episode. Okay, so the first question I got is, how do I make friends in college? So this is something, so my first year of college, I went to an in-state school and it was so easy for me to make friends, like with the other people that were commuting as well, because we all lived in the same state. We didn't live too far from each other. And we were all like in the same classes. So I was in the same class with this one girl. Like we had like two classes together. And so we were always just like kind of like looking at each other a little bit and like laughing at the same things or like making little comments in class to each other. Like, oh my God, this sounds like the beginning of a love story, but no, like my point is like, you can kind of tell who you'd vibe with in class. So whenever I would go into class, I would try to sit near someone that I'd be like, okay, this looks like someone to be friends with. Like this girl's got a hydro flask on her table. Probably a girl I'd get along with. Like this girl's wearing a hoodie from a brand I really like, whatever it is, sitting next to someone that you think that you could somewhat get along with or maybe be friends with or whatever it is. So trying to be next to that person, trying to kind of be around that person, all that stuff. So kind of being in that environment and being next to that person. So I think that's like the biggest thing is definitely like make sure you're like at least sitting next to someone that you want to be friends with. And I think the best way to find friends is through class. If you're dorming, I think there's like Facebook groups for dorming to find friends, but like at least for me, I wasn't dorming. I was commuting, and I think making friends as a commuter is very, very hard because it's like when I went to school in the city and everyone was dorming and I was commuting, it's like I couldn't go to bars with everyone. It wasn't as easy and accessible for me. So I think that it's a lot easier to kind of like have that situation when you are dorming and like join a Facebook group and you're going to see the same person in the dining hall. But if you're commuting, my best way to find friends is to in class, like go up to a girl and be like, hey, like, can I get your Instagram? Because like to like message you about a certain assignment. Or this might sound weird, but like a lot of people do this in college. Like I'll get a random follow from some person in class. And like a girl will follow me on Instagram and I'll be like, oh wait, I have, you know, marketing with her. And then I'll accept her. I'll follow her back and she'll DM me and be like, hey, did we have homework for tomorrow? And it's like such a casual way to start a conversation. And all of a sudden you follow each other. You can respond to stories. You start talking and you're like, we should meet up on campus one day and get coffee or get lunch or something. I've never had someone say no to me. So I think finding friends through class is the best way, especially finding friends like that have the same major as you. As you go more into college, you're going to have the same classes with similar people because you're all in the same major, so you're all have to take the same classes anyway, so you're going to see the same few faces sometimes. So it's really easy to kind of just talk to people in class. I'm not saying it's easy because I know social anxiety is a thing. Trust me, I was the same way, but I'm way more comfortable just like talking to people in class now. I do like being more independent on campus. I like eating my lunch by myself and doing homework by myself on campus, which maybe sounds weird to people, but for me, like it does work for me and I do like it. But I will have like class friends here and there that I'll talk to in a group chat or maybe meet up on campus to have a study session with. I know last year, me and like three other people from my accounting class, these two guys and another girl would meet up before exams to study together because none of us knew what was going on. So having something like that definitely is helpful. And it does help you to have friends in college that are in the same classes as you because college can be so overwhelming that you do sometimes forget about assignments and do need help from someone else. So that's my biggest tips is like, just be very open, be outgoing, be yourself, be confident. And when you're in class, just like, you know, talk, have small talk with people, laugh with people, smile with people, be very welcoming And eventually the right person will talk right back to you and you'll realize like, okay, this is someone I mesh along well with. You follow each other on Instagram. All of a sudden you can DM, ask to get lunch, ask to meet up on campus and study for a class together. All of a sudden you have a new friend. The next question that I got is how to step out of your comfort zone when texting guys. I don't believe in the whole like, oh, wait for them to text you. I mean, sometimes, yeah, like you shouldn't be texting them every single time first. But I think if you're into a guy and you want to let this guy know that you're into him, just text him. Like that's never really been a thing for me. Like at least with my boyfriend, I've known my boyfriend for a while. Like before we were dating, I've known him for years. But like we were never like friends. We were never close. Like we followed each other on Instagram. That was it. But we never like texted. We never messaged. Like we never talked to each other. And then all of a sudden we were seeing each other every single week because we did this like volleyball league together. And so every single week we were seeing each other. And I was like, okay, I really like this guy. Like I was seeing him every week, maybe even twice a week. I was seeing him because we were in the same friend group and in the same community. And I was like, okay, wait, I really like him. I see him twice a week. So like I know that I like him. But I don't know if he likes me back, but guess what? There's only one way to find out. So I remember I had like texted him about, cause he goes to the city, he went to school in the city. And so we were like, we knew of each other, but like, we were like acquaintances. We weren't like friends, but we were acquaintances. So I remember just like texting him and being like, hey, like, I know you're in the city a lot. What are the best restaurants to go to? Like, I'm trying to take my friend out for her birthday, like, you know, something like that. So it's like, that was me like making a move in a way, but also it could be like, okay, wait, is she texting me because she really just wants to know and she thinks like she sees us as friends, so she just wants to know, or is she texting me because she's into me? And it kind of like messes with the guy's mind a little bit because I sent a very friendly text. I'm just like, hey, like I know you're in the city a lot. Just wanted to know like what are the best restaurants to take my friend out for her birthday? Like I think that's a really great way to kind of just like text the guy. You're making the first move. You're letting him know like, hey, I'm like okay with talking to you, but he doesn't know how to read it. He's like, wait, is she into me or does she really just want to know the best restaurants and just like see me as a friend? Like, I'm not really sure how to like approach that. So I think that that's a really good way, is just like text the guy first about something very like friendly and casual, because that way it's going to be hard for them to read too. And now all of a sudden they're confused. Like try to find something that relates to them in a way that it can relate to you, and then try to like find a way to ask them about it. At least that's what helped for me. I'm not call her daddy. Like I don't know the best relationship advice, but that's just, it worked for me. I've never been afraid to like text the guy first. Like I think just have a lot of confidence and be like, okay, I know what I have to offer. I know what I bring to the table. I also like tried to get a little bit of a hint that he was like into me. Like at least I'd be like, okay, is he looking at me a little bit more today? Like, you know, little things like that. I wasn't completely like in the dark doing it, but I think those are kind of like good traits to have. The last thing I'm going to answer is I want to make Instagram reels, but don't know how to edit them. And I'm afraid of people's opinions. This is the same way I was with TikTok. I was like, I don't know how to edit these videos and I don't want to get judged. Like, I don't want my friends to see me making my bed on TikTok, you know, like I totally get it. So I think for the biggest thing is find out what kind of content that you want to create, whether it's lifestyle videos, fashion videos, whatever your niche is, whatever you want your content to be curated of, find what you want that to be. And then my next tip is like, once you find what you want that to be, find different ways that you can create it. So like find ways that you could be like, you know what, this is what I really like doing. Like, this is what I'm going to start creating and this and that and whatever it is. So once you find out the content that you want to create, there's millions of tutorials on YouTube, on TikTok, on how to edit. I use Splice and CapCut. I think that's just like what works best for me, and it's so easy on your phone to use. So I use Splice and CapCut to edit my videos. But you can find tutorials on that for YouTube, on Instagram, on whatever it is. So that's like my biggest advice for that, on actually making it. And for caring about people's opinions, in the beginning, I cared too a little bit. I was like, eh, this is kind of cringy. Like, I don't really want people to see me like, you know, making my bed or seeing me work out like on video or making whatever it is. Like, it's a little bit like, it's scary to put yourself out there, like I always say. And so that's what I was afraid of, was putting myself out there. And then eventually I was like, you know what, this is what I want to do. Like, no one's going to make fun of the girl at her nursing internship or the girl at her, you know, law internship. Why are they going to make fun of me when I try to like post on social media? And like I said, if people do have something to say about you, they're going to say it. And then the second that you get successful and the second that you reach 100,000 followers, they're going to be like, wait, what you're doing is actually cool. Like, what she's doing makes sense. And it's like, oh, now all of a sudden that I have followers and I'm making money from this, it's okay and it's cool and it makes sense and you're interested in it. You know, that's how people work, is unless they see numbers, unless they see proof of success or like evidence that what you're doing makes sense and is normal or whatever, they're not going to say anything when you reach that point. And I feel like the TikTok and Instagram reel like influencer lifestyle is so normalized compared to like what it used to be. I think it used to be very like not that common, and like people would get made fun of a little bit more for posting on YouTube, and all of a sudden it's like everyone is on social media now. TikTok, I think, made it so easy for people to put themselves out there. If you tried to do YouTube as a kid and you ended up not doing it because other people made fun of you, you're probably on TikTok right now. That's how I see it as myself. I'm like, I'm on TikTok because I never wanted to do it on YouTube, but TikTok gave me the confidence where if one day I did want to start a YouTube channel, I would have the confidence to do that because TikTok made me confident enough to like put myself out there. So I think TikTok and Instagram Reels is a good way to like slowly put yourself out there and not like go big or go home and just take those baby steps. So I recommend like working with new social media, working with new editing apps, and that'll really help you to kind of explore different options about yourself and don't care about what people think. We talked about that earlier in the episode, but I have like a whole episode on people's opinions and why they don't matter. I recommend listening to the episode, You Are Not the Main Character in Everybody's Story. I think that's a really good episode where I talk about only caring about your own circle. So that is my episode for today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys had a fun time listening to it. As I said, as you're listening to this, I'm probably on my way to Boston or at Boston right now. I have a very busy, it's Wednesday as I'm recording this. I have a busy rest of the day. I have a busy Thursday. I have a lot to prepare for Boston, a lot to do for school, a lot to do for work. So I'm excited to kind of just be able to tackle that in the next few hours. I'm happy that I woke up early and did that for myself, so that way I have time to get everything done that I need to get done. But I want to thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. I love you all so much. Make sure you guys follow me on Instagram at For You From Eve and on TikTok at For You From Eve to keep up with my daily life and everything that I'm posted. But thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you have an amazing and safe weekend, and I will talk to you next week.